Don't look under the internet.
I am.
Cool. So are we.
I'm not.
Oh.
Well, I did it, guys. Back.
Go record it.
No. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
To don't look under the internet.
Welcome. And don't look under the internet.
Welcome to don't look under the internet.
Welcome to don't
look
under the internet.
Look at the video.
Look at it.
Look at the video.
Listen to the audio.
Now, you're probably wondering,
this
because
is the
it
person.
might sound the same, but you're probably wondering to yourself, Michael. Why are you in the decrepit basement, but the others are in a room?
Yeah, literally nobody's saying that at all.
I like how half of the show is recording remotely now. One of us is because they live somewhere else. The other is because, I guess technically I live somewhere else too. I don't live in Doug's house.
We all live
technically
somewhere
we
else.
All live somewhere else.
Yeah.
But this is the for those of you that are audio listeners. but if for you, those of you on the YouTube, you've probably noticed we're separate now, and it's probably going to be like this for a relative foreseeable future.
For a little bit.
Because I need to be able to check up on my baby, and I can't do that when I'm 35 minutes away at Doug's house. So
it makes it harder.
Tell Lori to do better.
Last time I had an issue with
the baby.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't thought of that. I should just.
You guys should just move in. Work.
Wear that little vest thing while you record and like bash the head, his head or her head with the microphone when you're fucking.
Whack.
You know?
Yeah.
What do you think, Amelia? That soft spot's looking real soft.
Oh no.
Hey, Mike took it there that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
It's the culmination of being tired and just the hallucinations.
I don't like kids and I'm uncomfortable.
Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started on the tired.
All right, we won't.
I'll do it again.
I'll fucking do it again.
But yeah, I think this could work out pretty well. I get to add backdrops, which is nice. I got Nicolas Cage here. I got James Dean. No, don't crop out. I have James Dean and I have fucking Mr. Mort over here.
I see Mr. Mort. We're going to start sending you backdrops of our own creations. And
I got.
You have to hang them up.
Okay. They all just start putting Duluthy fan art on the wall and see what happens.
People start sending stuff to the P.O. box for Mike to hang up. Have we gotten any more Megamines?
No.
We got one Megamine.
What the fuck?
I checked it last week and I didn't see anything.
It's
so.
Not even enough for us to throw like a Megamine watch party between the four of us.
Yeah, right.
People, I don't want like to throw out the word demand, but I demand more Megamine DVDs. I'm
have
a simple
one.
Person.
Just one.
I have simple needs. Yeah. And I need Megamind DVDs. So send it to the P.O. box. You don't act like you haven't seen it. It's in the description everywhere. I know you've seen it. I know you can do it. It's not that complicated. Go to Walmart. It's in the $5 bin. I just don't want to do it because I'm a cheap ass.
Yeah.
So go buy me the fucking movie.
It's on eBay. I found like a lot of, I don't know, like 25 Megamind DVDs, and I don't know why this person had 25.
Like
Megamind
a bundle pack
on eBay for like $100.
No, I was gonna say
they're pulling a me.
Hell yeah!
We just see $100 come out of the fucking PayPal account. Like, what is that?
If I see that, I know what happens.
All I'm saying is, don't be a fool and don't be a dummy. Buy me a Megamind DVD, you idiot. Now go. Subscribe to patreon.com.
You were so close to just making
there.
A full rhyme. I
thought
know.
That's where he was going with it. He started talking about Dr. Seuss.
Don't be an idiot. Don't be a dummy.
Send me Megamind and you can rub Mike's tummy.
See?
Yeah. Right there.
Bam. Words.
Oh,
they rhyme.
You know what's funny? I wasn't even able to be like, that's Doug. I haven't even said that. That's
no.
Doug.
We haven't introduced ourselves. We haven't said what kind of show we are.
Welcome to Don't Look Under the Internet.
Welcome to Don't Look Under the Internet.
Shut
up. Welcome to Don't Look Under the Internet.
Stop it. That's Doug.
Hello.
That's Jason.
Hello.
That's Mr. Moot.
Welcome to Don't Look Under the Internet.
And
welcome to Don't Look Under the Internet.
That's Mr. Mort behind Mike. Not to be confused with Mr. Moot.
No, not to be confused.
Second cousin twice removed.
We have a real rip snorter for you today, but before we get to it, mate, we gotta do a little old-fashioned diluty.
Clap above your head.
I already shouted out the other ones in the review episode I did. So
I listened to that. Shout them out again.
Okay, fine. You guys, you get Jack Nixon, Sweet Fries, Trendy Deer, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Wait. We're not playing the game.
All right. Is it stupid or is it fun?
Yes.
Jack Nixon.
Stupid.
What do you
think
of Jack Nixon? Stupid? Okay. Nope. Fuck you, Jack Nixon.
Sorry, Jack. Sorry, son. You're stupid.
Unsubscribe for the Patreon. We got Sweet Fries. What do you think of Sweet Fries?
Yeah.
Decent.
It's fine, but six. I don't like Sweet Fries, so...
Yeah, it's like just above average, but nothing special.
It's like, why have Sweet Fries when you have a good fry, like a French fry?
What about
fry?
Trendy Deer 1, 2, 3, 4,
That's
5?
That's a 10. That's a... Yeah, yep.
I'm good. Out of the park, stellar.
That's like a 9.
Trendy Deer, and then the first 5
numbers.
I don't
think we can give them a 10, because I feel like Big Jug Hot Cheese really...
That's, that really is
the bar.
Yeah, it really is the bar.
Good job,
and then we have our new
cheese.
One.
You're the standard.
We have our new one, I believe, from yesterday. We have Robin's Bobbin.
Okay, that one sounds
that's a fun one.
Good. That's fine. Robin's Bobbin.
Yeah. Robin's Bobbin. So thank you all. That's super sweet of you to give us money, especially in these trying times where my dinner I'm eating right now on air and it consists of a payday. As you can tell, it's a struggle bus here.
We can't get away from the eating.
I know. He's always just going to eat on Mike.
I got to. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It's just going to happen.
I have to stuff my face when I'm talking into a microphone.
All that time you spent putting up the fucking posters and shit, you could have just, you know.
I missed the goldfish. I feel like that was a classic staple.
That is a classic staple.
Yeah, I left him
whenever
upstairs.
Whenever I saw that come out, I just went, oh, fucking hell. Here come throat noises.
But if you guys would like to give to the Patreon and listen to more mouth noises, then you can go to patreon.com/dulypod, silly.
And we can call you stupid on air.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Silly. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. Now, boys, I have a real exciting topic for us today.
Do you?
Yes. it's a roller coaster of an episode.
Okay.
Super amusing.
I'm excited.
It's super amusing, you know. This is a one-way ticket to Funville. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you're gonna fucking die here.
This is painful.
I'm just waiting for you to land this bird scooter.
We're
circling the airport.
Make sure you collect your Coca-Cola cans. Get $20 off your ticket to Liminal Land because that's where we're going today.
Woo!
Yeah.
Look at the photo.
Look at the photo.
So I figured I stumbled across Liminal Land by not even sheer coincidence. We got like 40 people that were like, look at Liminal Land, stupid. And I was like, fine, we'll do it already. Christ.
So you didn't stumble on it. You listened to the advice of the people that enjoy listening to us and thought,
just
okay,
it on top of it.
I guess
yes,
I will.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. Honestly, okay. That's exactly what happened.
We do like a hot up and coming topic, so.
I do too.
Shut up, dude.
I like a hot up and coming.
Just stop.
Yes. So I guess I'll ask real quick for the people at home. What is like, what does liminal mean? What is something that's liminal? Does anybody here know?
Well,
I have an idea.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I can put like an exact definition to it.
Well, I guess, do we want to define liminal or do we want to define liminal spaces?
That liminal spaces is probably the way. Porque no los dos, indeed.
Do that. Do both.
Okay. All right. Well, liminal is a term that is meant to describe like a state of transition. It's a state that is between one thing and another. Like traditionally, it was used to describe like a coming of age or a rite of passage or something, and like being in like an awkward state where you're almost there, but you're not quite. So a liminal space is like a space that is almost, but not quite. It's basically like, so when you think Uncanny Valley, you usually think people and faces and expressions and stuff. This is like the Uncanny Valley of architecture or rooms or spaces. Yeah. It's like you see a photo of something and you're like, yeah, that's a bedroom, but something's not quite right about it.
Or, like the back rooms.
It's like, it's almost like, oh, like I remember that place.
Right.
I've been there.
Yeah, it's familiar.
But it doesn't look like I have been there. You know, like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain
the
it.
The back
very
rooms,
well.
Mike said, it, back rooms is a fantastic example of what liminal space is.
Well, that is kind of like the example. That's kind of why this became popular on the internet. Liminal spaces is a big thing on, like, there's an r liminal spaces on Reddit. You can go see lots of pictures that have the same sort of aesthetic, but it became popular because of the back rooms.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like a picture of like, I don't even know what are the back rooms. It's almost like,
it's just like a hotel. It's like office space.
It's an office building, more or less.
Yeah, okay. Like a dentist office or something like that.
Yeah, it's like a dimension in between spaces.
That's the thing about this. Okay, so the thing about the back rooms is, so my dad used to work in an office building and like,
My dad worked in the back room.
basically, dude. So, like, you know those, like, take your kid to work day bullshit days you used to do, like, when you were in, like, middle school and elementary school and shit? Like, I'd go to his office, but, like, the place that he worked, like, there was, like, people there, but, like, not really. So, like, you'd go into this big office building with, like, 40 floors, and then you'd be on one office, like, level, and there'd be, like, maybe another person up there.
But just cubicles as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, it's just like a low yellow light, like cubicles, a bunch of the same room over and over, and you're just like, oh, this is weird.
This is terrible.
I think the best way that I can describe the aesthetic of liminal spaces is if you've ever seen pictures of North Korea.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
It's like basically, it's like, this is a city, but where'd all the people go?
Where'd they go?
Where are them people at?
Where are the birds?
They're not real. We've already talked about
what that is.
But yeah, I mean, liminal spaces. Yeah, it's just like the super uncanny, like very monotonous, kind of dully lit. It's just boring. It's just honestly the everything about it is super fucking boring. And I think it's designed to make you feel repetition.
Yeah, yeah. You nailed it.
Mad.
Nailed it.
Got it.
Killed it.
Yes. But what does this have to do? What does the word liminal have to do with liminal land?
So essentially, you probably ask yourself, where can I find liminal land? What the fuck is a liminal land? Where it be? Basically, it was discovered on liminal land's social medias, across like Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. There is a post that went out about one of their rides. It is known as chrysanthemum.
The chrysanthemum.
Chrysanthemum.
I was debating not stepping into it to assist
I
there, but
podcast.
Yeah, me too.
We all do. I think that's a requirement.
You essentially get an image of these very, very abstract and fucked up looking rides with like a hashtag that says like visit liminal land, and you'll also get like a link to the website that is called visitliminalland.net.
Dude, these
very cool of them to spring on the .net and not just go with the .com.
these rides, literally, they look like they were designed by H.R. Giger. And if you don't know who that is, he's the guy that did all of like the
Alien.
Yeah, Alien. He did all of like the design.
No.
Yeah, that guy fucks.
No, but yeah, it's not Suicide Coaster.
I love
coaster,
that guy.
Man. Are you talking about the guy that designed the roller coaster that's supposed to be euthanasia?
Yeah,
it's just G forces until your brain liquefies. Yes, that's no, not the same about. Guy. Not the
he
same
is
guy.
Known as the hero of the month, Ed DeLutti.
the most recent Nobel Peace Prize winner. I think is what we're talking about.
Really doing the Lord's work.
Yes. But so if you go to visitliminalland.net, you'll be greeted with the homepage. This homepage is of like a carousel, not a carousel. What's the big wheel called? The Ferris wheel. the big wheel.
The big rotating sight wheel.
Yeah, and it's just spinning, and it's all dark and creepy and red. But then you get these tabs on the side that take you to other parts of the website. You get tabs like you get attractions, you get accommodations, you have archives, you have the gallery, you have intervention, about liminal land, and a gift shop. Go buy a coffee mug for dad.
Don't do that.
No, go do it. See what happens. He may enjoy it. So I figure, what do you boys think if we just go down the line and we just kind of figure shit out?
Makes the most sense.
Because the website's kind of
like jumble up the outline.
You know, I would like to last minute not be the next person to talk.
last minute restructuring, and we'll just do it on the fly. It'll be great.
Let's start with the creator. Go. Okay.
Real or fake?
What are we drinking? What are we thinking? There's a bottle here, and it's empty.
I was about to do that. I have Proper 12. I'm not an Irish whiskey drinker, and Conor McGregor is a dick. But
true.
My wife got me the bottle. Oh, okay. So it's
my wife. Very nice.
I was going to start insulting you, but then you said that, and so I'm not going to do that.
I'm drinking Proper 12, guys. I am resigning from the show. out of all the bullshit, Mike drinking shitty Irish whiskey.
That's the one thing.
Yes. Yep.
It's not all the thresholds we've pushed or anything like that.
What are you boys drinking?
I've got some 1800 tequila and my leftover blood of the unicorn.
I'm not drinking at all because I've drank too much already for the week. So, yeah.
Muthalamil, are you drinking?
Yeah, I'm drinking Liquid Death, which Liquid Death is not responding to any of my tweets on the Twitter. And
I've noticed.
That's upsetting. I've seen the effort.
We're like liquid asshole.
I'm going to start doubling down really hard.
Are you going to get the flask?
Maybe I'm just giving them free advertisement. I don't know.
Maybe you should start sending them links to like really obscure information. Why Elmo's called Elmo. Just send them the fucking Wikipedia article. Come on the show and this will stop.
Daily tidbit.
Yeah,
send them like just random links from like liveleak.com or
something. Yeah, exactly.
Just like start sending them like ISIS beheading videos.
Yes. Oh my god!
Sponsor us and the pain will stop. I promise.
I was thinking like cat facts, but no, Mike just really went in.
Went right for glass ass. That's how I work. Are you going to get their flask?
No, probably not. People, bully Liquid Death into sponsoring us. Don't send them ISIS beheading videos.
Yes, just send them tweets that say sponsored Diluti.
Yeah. Send them a bunch of 9/11 memes.
Beheading free. Just
put that text in there. This site is beheading free. DilutiPod.com. That way they won't be suspicious. Anyway, back on track a little bit.
Yeah, so we have a journey ahead of us, Mike. Where do we want to go first?
So let's take a look at some of the attractions that you might find once you enter the land of liminal here. What are those things called that you find at like Six Flags or whatever, where you like, it's like that, or like subways where you have to like crank it, you know what I mean, to enter?
What?
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, a turnstile.
A turnstile. Okay. The turnstile, thank you. This is, you,
well,
you
find
walk
the similarity between Subway and Six Flags. Ready, go.
Turnstiles.
There it is.
I don't even think they, okay, no, they do. Actually, that's Six Flags, but never mind.
And a crazy frog whose penis is out.
It's not even crazy frog. It's a crazy old man.
And his penis is mostly in his pants.
It's also mostly.
Crazy frog has a remake of the song.
Anyway, why are we talking about it?
You go to the crazy frog is coming, and everyone is jumping.
Welcome.
New York to San Francisco.
We've almost made it 23 minutes and almost have started the actual topic.
We've almost.
This
we've
is what people
begun.
Come here for.
We've
this
almost
is what people
just
come here
begun.
For. All right. So anyway, you walk into this place. You're like, one ticket, please. Here's my Coke can. I'll take $20 off admission. And then you
$20? That's fucking steep, bro. It's
shut
like
up. Shut up. I'm talking.
Isn't this also like the 80s? Like $20 in the 80s.
Yeah,
it's like almost $20 in the 80s.
Almost $20. Anyway, if you click on the attractions tab, you'll see some of the rides that they have at Liminal Land. Some of these, for instance, is the Hall of Walls, which is their signature maze experience.
The crown jewel.
Yeah. Do you want me to go into the Hall of Walls a little bit, or you guys want to touch that later?
Yes, please go in and never come out.
Yeah.
Okay. I think
Jason will cover it a little.
If you want to touch on it, give an overview. I'll go into the details. How about that?
It's basically a gigantic 800,000 square foot maze.
Or mile. We don't know yet.
Or mile. 800,000 maze.
800,000 maze. Yep.
It's up to you to find your way out somehow. It is their number one attraction.
Billy Mays living there. You're just walking through and just in the distance.
Billy Mays! Hi!
But wait, there's more!
You also have the Paradise Playgrounds, which is like liminal lands. I guess like you could say counter.
Discovery Zone.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Discovery Zone at all?
Yeah.
No.
Definitely. Oh.
No. Because you weren't a child.
It was miles and miles of tubes and ball pits.
I've never been a child.
Like you came out 80 years old, and you still are.
But the Paradise Playrooms is basically their daycare center, you could say. We also have the Subliminal Land, which is a underground like water park that they have, and it is way bigger than you might think.
Oh yeah.
You have the Laugh Track, which is a, I want to say, like, a roller coaster slash one of those, like, water coasters.
Yeah, they describe it as a roller coaster, but we'll go into why that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. You have the Centrifuge, which can hold up to 100 riders at one time.
Wow.
I know. Just
blending people.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is a centrifuge supposed to be something that like separates
separate the liquids from other liquids, so get that blood away from that plasma.
It separates the
get that cum away from that blood.
I mean, statically yes, but also sure. Please God, if you have that problem, ride the centrifuge.
It's okay if my blood and semen mix.
It's okay, it's just not socially acceptable.
We also have the Skyliner, which is their reverse free fall. And it
just
was
shoots you into the sky.
You have
people cannon.
Yeah, 100%.
You have unknown, which I couldn't even begin to describe the unknown one. It reminds me sort of like the Pharaoh's boat ride.
Yeah, it looks like fucking blimp with like.
Yeah.
With arms.
Non-flammable helium.
You also have the the flower one. It's their signature spinner. Very fun. Chrysanthemum.
There it is.
I did it. We have another unknown, which looks like a fucking Lovecraftian.
It looks like
horror.
Something out of fucking Alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's not a whole lot of information about this ride. In fact, if you recall anything about it, they want you to fill out the form and give them information on it.
Yeah, because they don't really know what it is either.
Yes. There is the Serpentine, which is the roller coaster there, which may have some mystical properties. Oh, who knows? There's a clown maze. Hey, kids! Don't go in there.
I'm sorry, did you just call it a clown maze?
Yes, there's a clown maze. Da, 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 da,
yeah, I guess you're right.
Mr. Mort is in the clown maze.
Okay.
I'm glad it's labeled Funhouse, because if I walked up to a building and it just said clown maze, I'm not going in there.
Absolutely
There's no fucking way I'm going in that building.
1,000,000% not doing that.
One ticket to clown maze, please. I really don't want to give that to you.
That's the easiest decision.
That has clowns in it.
Yeah, it's seriously the easiest decision I've ever fucking made in my life. Just no.
Absolutely not.
And then there's Invader Cave, which is like their transit system. It connects from home to just various different parts of the park. Yeah.
It's like the monorail and then, for those Disney aficionados.
Monorail.
Or the
monorail.
People mover.
Or the
monorail.
Yeah, the high
people
speed
mover.
People mover.
Yeah. And then underneath all of this, you can actually fill out that form that says, where were you? If you or someone you know has any recollection of a prior visit to Liminal Land, please fill out the following. You know what? I'm going to fill it out right
now. I actually filled it out earlier.
We did.
And I
bluepod@gmail.com.
I wrote in it and I said,
Mike,
you don't have to narrate what you're doing.
The clown maze. It was super
everything is so stupid.
Scary. Submit. There we go.
Okay, good. I am hooked up.
Muted. Mike is muted the rest of the episode.
No,
now.
Don't say that. But yeah, so there's a lot of rides here. Some of them are pretty goddamn terrifying seeming.
Yeah, you said the words clown maze to my face. It's fucking horrifying.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch half of these.
No.
And by half of them, I mean the entire park. I would avoid the entire park.
I would dumbly wander into like the Hall of Walls.
Well, here's the thing. Some of these rides you can avoid and you'll be fine, but there are some parts you might want to hang out by. They have some nice accommodations at the park. Some things that suit everybody. Isn't that right, Douglas?
They do. If you visit the accommodations tab, you are greeted with welcome home, which you may have heard Mike just mention in the last tab.
I'm when home.
I home. Welcome home,
Doug's
Mike.
Home. Welcome home.
Doug's home.
Doug's home.
Doug is home. Welcome home.
So I'm just going to read off this page because it's fairly short and it kind of gives you like the best idea of what home is. So it says, one of the finer creations of Liminal Land Park came with the creation of their flagship accommodation, the Holistic and Opportune Mutual Experience, or home. The home project encompassed a sprawling underground suburbia perfect for families who traveled from out of state to experience Liminal Land for themselves. Built from the repurposed bones of the Lake Valley Observatory employee housing structure, the site once housed the facility's clean energy workers and their families. At the time of creating one of the largest underground communities in existence, upon its opening, Liminal Land aimed to celebrate this sense of community by transitioning home's purpose away from employees and geared towards the visitors, many of whom felt overwhelmingly comfortable while inside due to its illusory nature. So, the sensation of homeliness was the sole intention behind the project, as Karen sought to keep guests inside the park for as long as possible in hopes of maximizing profits. Because of this goal, Home would be the only in-park hotel offered to guests, reportedly containing around 10,000 concurrent operational rooms at its peak, spreading out over a handful of square miles underneath Liminal Land.
How many? How many square miles?
A handful of square miles.
A handful.
Yeah, just a handful.
Okay.
Descriptive.
Couple, two, three.
So
between 2 and 80,000.
There is a map that has the rough approximation of its size relative to Liminal Land.
Oh God. I'm sorry. I drank the
big
proper 12 and I think I'm gonna have a grimace shake incident happen.
I'm not looking at video, so yeah, I have no idea what's happening.
You about the barf?
No, it just hit my tummy and it's just like,
do you want us to take a fiver?
No,
a
pause, no, I'm good.
Like
no, I'm fine.
You just had to announce that you didn't need to pause.
Yes.
You just wanted to make sure we knew that you were sitting there with a tummy ache.
I feel like Conor McGregor shat down my tummy.
I mean, he didn't shit. He definitely came though. All right. So moving right along. Blending 50s-inspired decor with modern cues from the 1980s, Home was a marvel for its time, and due to the intrigue,
both.
He probably did both. I'm sure it was both, now that you mentioned it. And due to the intrigue and raving reviews surrounding it, Karen would begin selling units in 1981, fulfilling their goal of keeping their patrons or park grounds for as long as human... Did I already read that?
Yeah.
God damn
Sharon-
it.
Karen, I'm
yes,
sorry,
but also
Karen, Sharon, real quick, that is like the parent company.
Yes, yep. Yes, I'm getting there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, remember
fair.
That name. It's Charon, just a heads up, not Karen.
I don't know where I am anymore.
You're right here.
All right, due to the allure of Home and its outward appearance of sprawling underground suburbia, quick family vacations often turned into extended and even permanent stays. And for many, Liminal Land Park has indefinitely become home. And then, so under all of that, you get like this gallery of what you can kind of expect these houses to look like, or apartments or rooms or whatever you want to call them. They all look different. And
would stay.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Love the aesthetic. I love the 60s aesthetic.
But there's no lawns to mow here.
There was a lawn.
Oh yeah, no, there's at least one.
There's at least one lawn, but it looks like it's, I don't know, it's weird.
But it's surrounded by rocks and chairs. And
I'll find a way.
More rocks.
This is more my style. This looks like they tried to have like a mini golf course and then they scrapped it about a tenth of the way through.
They started building the first hole and we're like,
Now, I do want to point out, with the recent craze of AI-generated art, and obviously we even did a bonus episode making AI-generated art.
The cursed episode.
It's very much all of the images you're going to see throughout this website are AI-generated. Like, no doubt, you can tell. Okay. We are desensitized to AI art now. We know what it looks like. People look like fucking ghoulies.
Yeah. I think this absolutely
growing out of kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
This You're absolutely gonna sit cemented. There and tell me this isn't real.
Ripping the band-aid off.
Right. I know, man. I'm so sorry. It's all AI generated. But yeah, I will say this definitely like it tuned my AI art senses. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you gotta be stupid to be like, that's some real shit.
I feel like we're really hyping this up now. I mean, this should have come at the end.
All I was trying to say was AI art generated. That's all.
Yeah.
That's just, you know when you see it.
You do. Everything looks fucked.
Experience it for yourself at visitliminalland.net.
Well, there's a lore reason, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
But that's really all. That's it.
What we want.
For accommodations. We'll get there, and I'm going to pass the buck.
we do, and we just hope that people forget far enough into the episode that we just are off the hook.
Yeah.
I think
if
that's
somebody
what
was really dedicated, they could go back through all our episodes and find where one of us says, yeah, we'll cover that later, and then it just
oh, my God,
up.
Yeah.
Someone's going to make, like, an IOU episode. They're going to be like, here's all the times you promised us shit, and here's all the times you didn't fucking deliver, so come on, assholes. Pony
oh,
up.
God damn it. That's well, okay. Yeah,
we'll pay the piper someday.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
We'll deal with that sometime. We'll cover that later.
But yeah, that's pretty much it for accommodations. The next tab, though, is the archives. Jason, you got something on that?
I have so fucking much on this.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, dude. I honestly had a good time just checking everything out. This is going to be the bulk of the information on the website is in the archives.
It is a lot of information.
It's a ton. It's four full pages of clickable like threads, more or less. Most of them are, it's just the image and then a brief description on what it is. You can find all of the imagery posted on the archives. It's essentially like, I don't know, a collection of everything they've posted to socials, as well as some additional information from the past.
It kind of reminds me of the way that the Flesh Pits Tumblr was set up.
Yeah, this is almost identical to how the Flesh Pits was set up. And honestly, that's a good format to follow because it works. It lets you explore things at your own pace. You can see what's interesting. You can click on it. You can explore it.
The whole thing's got real Eventide Media Center vibes. Too.
Yes, absolutely. The Tempest universe is present in the inspiration here for sure. But like I said, this is like a collection of, honestly, I mean, it's the archive, so I assume it's like a collection of all, you know, past and present information about Liminal Land. So you can see some, like, some promotional material, pamphlets that were passed out, but you also get a bunch of, like, random letters as well as videos. I'm going to save the videos for a little bit later, just because I think those will fit if we cover all of those.
We'll cover that later.
Yeah, we'll cover it later, guys. Don't worry. But one of the first things I want to cover, so the way I kind of ingested this media was you click on the archives link and you just start looking at, you see just topics abound. There's no real rhyme or reason to it. And I'm pretty sure it's updated as like most recent is first and then it goes backwards. But as somebody who's clicking on the link and seeing the archives, you're going to see the newest stuff first and you're going to kind of work backwards from there. So that's how I'm going to cover it. So the first thing you're going to see is, something called the letter of warning, as according to the archive page. And there's a whole bunch of redacted material, throughout a lot of these different letters. And I'm not sure who's redacting it. I'm sure it's the,
we
Karen.
Are.
Oh yeah. No, you're right. We are
redacted.
So this letter, it essentially, it's from Lake Valley, New Mexico. The first part of it's redacted, and it says, I'm writing this letter to inform you of escalating activities in the Liminal Land Park, where outside jurisdiction is poking around behind the scenes. We've received your reports of street-clothed officers from the
redacted
surveying the premises after park hours, allegedly conducting some sort of unlawful investigation into the park's activities. One officer
redacted
was reprimanded last night on level B34 of Subliminal Land, hiding in the men's restroom. When approached, he claimed to have been lost, refusing to speak any further. Currently, he's being held in our facility for further questioning. We will send updates on what he knows and who else is involved with his work. For now, all that's confirmed are his ties to the investigative department of the
redacted.
Previously, recall, and it goes on. It essentially, it raises a bunch of concerns about something called the anomaly. They ask about something that I found out. So some of these redacted areas of the letter, if you fuck with the image, you can actually see what it says. Part of this letter asks about there being a bear just down there. Why is there a bear down here? I'm not sure why there's a bear down here,
that
but there's a bear down
here. Attractions.
It really should.
Just the bear.
Just random, random, bear. Unrestrained bear. Just sorry.
It's just the Hulu shoe. It's just the Hulu show.
Person cannon bear.
Bear. Just unedited bear. But yeah, so it goes over how they essentially people were shredding different files to try and hide different things, especially from the local authorities. And as they refer to them, people outside of their normal jurisdictions, which kind of suggests that Liminal Land has its own jurisdiction and its own police force, which is kind of terrifying. But then it says, sincerely,
redacted.
So we don't exactly know who wrote this letter and who it's being addressed to, but it definitely raises some fucking concerns about what's actually going on in Liminal Land. After this,
well, yeah, they have bears there.
There's at least one bear.
What's he up to?
Yeah, what's he doing
eating,
there? Have we
porridge.
Interviewed him yet?
The bear from the Hulu Network show?
Yeah, with the dude from Shameless, right? Kip from Shameless?
Sure. I haven't watched Shameless. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. You are. It's very...
are really solid.
Oh, they're fucking great. And then they kind of gave up. But that's all right. So we get a couple of videos after this. And like I said, I'm going to cover these videos a little bit later when I can cover all of them at the same time in kind of an order. So something else that we see here is we get some more information about the Hall of Walls. And this has been touted as the crown jewel of Liminal Land. This is what everyone comes to see. Is
I would
the
fucking
Hall
love
of Walls.
Going here. I love mazes, man. I love me a good corn maze. I love me a good mirror maze.
But
get
not
me
clown
the
maze.
Fuck in here. Not a
not a clown maze. No, fuck off with the clown mazes. Nuh-uh.
Depends on the clown in the maze. If it's Pennywise, no. If it's fucking
Wazoo the Immense, maybe.
Sure. Who the fuck is Wazoo the Immense?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to come up with clown names. Did it work?
What about Bozo?
Bozo's a good one.
Bozo's you on basically Bozo? Just the twin of no. Pennywise.
Oh, no. Sorry. Kelly's brother was on Bozo Buckets. Yeah, he actually got to play and shit. It was great.
Did he make it in the buckets?
At least one of them. I think he did pretty bad, though. from what I remember. No, the Hall of Walls is the crown jewel of Liminal Land, and I know Mike kind of briefly talked about this, but this is a groundbreaking attraction simply because it was the ultimate maze. There's a bunch of different documents that you can find throughout the archives about the Hall of Walls, and from what I can scrape together, it's essentially this huge sprawling, expansive maze of just it is the definition of liminal space. It's an office building that goes on.
They painted it
forever.
Gray. Everything is gray.
It's gray. It's not yellow like normal, like the liminal space you'd see in the back rooms or anything like that. It's gray. But the way they set this up is that there's a different exit every day, and there's seven different exits, so it cycles through them. So every time you enter this, there's a new path for you to take. So someone did the math on it, and it's like, if you did this like 2.6 million times, you would eventually like repeat a route, but it would take that many fucking times going through it to actually repeat. So it's impossible to remember how to get out because you don't know which exit's open. You could be in there for days. I mean, there have been reports about people that have spent weeks inside the Hall of Walls. But it's
that's fun. I'd do that.
I love mazes and I'm terrible at directions. So I think that's just a recipe for disaster if I fucking stumbled into this place. But
I think if I had the promise that if I eventually didn't come out or something, that somebody would like send a helicopter over the maze to come find me, that so, I would do something that might take me a week to get out of.
That is an assurance that they give you. They say if you ever get lost or you don't know where you are, either look around for an employee and or an associate, and they can help
partner,
you get out.
They call them,
yeah, a parker.
And they can partner.
They can direct you to the nearest exit. And if you don't see a partner, you just stand still and you wait for one of them to kind of come around. Someone is literally, they say that someone is always on the way to help, which is
if you don't see a partner, just remember the three F's.
Exactly.
You'll be okay.
That's fair.
Yeah. If you guys haven't listened to the entire catalog of Deludy, there are some good life lessons in how to deal with liminal spaces in there. But one of the big things of these, the collection of documents all about the Hall of Walls, they go over the doctor, the man that came up with the idea, the concept and everything, which is Dr. Schlittenberg. And you're going to see
Schlittenberg's Evil Incorporated.
God, you're going to see references to Dr. Schlittenberg a lot, whether he be called Dr. S, Dr. Schlittenberg. He has a hand in pretty much everything related to liminal lands. He was there at like the moment of inception and date of creation of the park. Huge influence throughout the entirety of like what liminal land is, what it's designed for, what it's meant to do. He's had a hand in all of it. That's Hall of Walls is essentially a maze. Just pretend like you're walking through an office building and there is an exit somewhere, but you have to find it and it's different every time. Sounds like a nightmare, but it's their like star attraction. This is what everybody comes there for.
I'm with Matt though. Like if I knew that I could get help anytime I want, I would spend a good week in here trying to find my way out.
Oh yeah.
Sounds super cool as long as I won't die.
Right. And that's the part that makes it terrifying because I know they say that there's help everywhere and there's always somebody coming to help you. We'll go over why that's a little terrifying. The videos.
I think it should be obvious at this point that if everything went real great with this park and it was just a good amusement park and nothing bad ever happened, this episode probably wouldn't be a thing.
No. Yeah. We wouldn't be talking about this if everything was happy and everybody loved their lives after entering the gates of Liminal Land. Speaking of loving your life and being in Liminal Land for a lot longer than you were ever intending to be there for, let's talk about Subliminal Land. I know we said that this is like a basement, like an underground water park, which is that's definitely a concept that I've not seen in real life before, but that's what it is. It's a super, super expansive water park where literally the flow of water does not stop. So if you follow the water, you're going to keep going deeper and deeper. At one point, I saw, in the letter we just talked about, they talked about sub-basement or B-34, which means basement level 34.
They also give you this really reassuring, selling point where they're like, the deeper you go, the fewer people you'll see.
Yeah. You can get away from everybody. Yeah, keep going. Just keep going, and you won't see anyone ever again. Doesn't that sound nice? It's like,
I do.
Ominously, yes, but ominously. it's this water park that is this hyper-complex maze of water rides, water slides, lazy rivers, everything. And it's supposed to eventually get down to these levels where there's almost nobody. Like, you can get to a point where there might be a ton of people on the level, but you won't see any of them simply because it's just that expansive. And they tout this as like, experience true serenity, experience true relaxation, and you can seclude yourself in these basement levels. To me, it just sounds like they want people to stumble in there and never, ever, ever fucking come out.
And drown. That's how you.
And drown, probably. There is a warning that says if you experience autophobia, maybe don't go below basement level 8. Autophobia is literally just the fear of being around people. Like, you need to be, the fear of being alone. You have to be around people at all times, otherwise you freak out. And so they say anything below basement level 8, don't. If you experience autophobia, just fucking don't. We'll save you the trouble. So yeah, that's another big part of the lore in Liminal Land. One of the other things that I found that I thought was super interesting was something called the Hub. And there's only one image of the Hub on the archives. It says the only known image taken of the Hub, which is the main energy sector of Lake Valley Observations. So I don't think we mentioned this, but Liminal Land was actually built on the skeleton of something called Lake Valley Observations. And it was an energy and resource company, more or less. It was super expansive. It had employee housing. It was honestly like the perfect skeleton for a park just like this. So when Karen bought the land and decided to build a park here, there was something already built called the Hub. One of the things that was discovered about it was the amount of like reactions that happen inside, and that apparently never shut down. And so it reminded me kind of like the accelerator ring, like in Switzerland, or the one that we have in Batavia.
CERN?
CERN, Fermilab, Batavia. Yeah, it sounds like there's some kind of reaction happening in this place all the time.
Fermilab has bison.
That it, you are correct. Thank you for that.
I like bison.
But if we're just interrupting, quick point. Karen, the way it's spelled too, I meant to mention this earlier because we keep talking about it. If you don't know, in Greek mythology, this is the son of Erebus and Nyx, and basically they're the one that the ferries basically souls across
the river Styx.
So and then his payment is coins that are placed in their mouth. So I guess keep that in mind. Do with that information what you will.
That actually plays a huge part in this whole series. So yeah, absolutely keep that in mind. But
you might also know Nyx from Journey to Nyx, the Magic
the Gathering
block,
which features exclusively chthonic gods
and in lots of enchantments.
Lots of enchantments. That's the whole thing. But yes, so yeah, thank you. Yeah, so Karen was the ferryman of the dead. Keep that in mind here, especially as we start getting closer and closer to what I guess I'd consider to be the big reveal.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So this Hub, we're not actually sure what is happening inside it, but we do know that if you enter the chamber that contains the Hub, that means you will die within 1 hour.
Oh, no.
Yep. Yeah. See, if you spend an hour in this room, you're dead. Apparently, it's something to do with radiation, I'm guessing, especially when they're talking about reactions.
How much does this cost?
$4.50. So the Hub would eventually be retrofitted into the final floor of Subliminal Land, which made it one of the most highly sought-after locations in the entire park. So, yes, there is like an absolute final point in Subliminal Land. I haven't read a single story about somebody who found it, though, and that's a little concerning.
Not at all.
You guys remember me talking about Dr. Schlittenberg, right?
Can't forget.
The guy who came up with the Hollow Walls. So, the first time we actually see his name published was in a weekly edition of Science News on November 28th in 1959, and the article itself briefly discusses his research into the world of cortical activation and specifically
of
yes, thank you, Mike. Cortical activation and specifically compression-induced laughter. That's a weird combination of words. and I understand the confusion that might follow, but I promise I will go over that. So despite discovering the clear health issues that prolonged exposure to these compressions can cause, he definitely incorporated the same technology years later into a ride or an attraction that exists in Liminaland called the Laugh Track. You can also find...
Hey!
Yeah. This is kind of... So if the Hall of Walls is like the crown jewel, the Laugh Track is like a very close second. This is another one that everybody came to Liminaland for, and there was a whole like... They posted a whole study about cortical activation and the machine response mm-hmm. that I read through. And essentially it went over saying that we don't know what like the prolonged effects of mechanical stimulation of certain cortical components of the brain. And if you boil that down, it's essentially saying we can make you laugh by pressing you in weird ways. Like that is what it says.
That is true.
And so apparently the theory behind this whole ride, the Laugh Track, was essentially Dr. Schlittenberg trying to find a way to compress the human body in a specific way to make just uncontrollable laughter happen. And that was the whole point of this ride.
That, though, is like, doesn't it say that the laughing is basically created by the vest thing that you wear? So why does it need to be a roller coaster?
That's like, so that is a question that I have. You could just be sitting in a chair. Like, right. You don't have to be moving at
all. Would you like some laugh?
But
here's a vest.
But apparently, also, you're on a roller coaster, so.
Yeah. Now you're flying around, and honestly, the pictures that I've seen of the Laugh Track, I don't know what part of it is a roller coaster, because, like, it's mostly just people with their faces contorted into horrific laughs and, like, just unnatural faces because they're laughing so hard.
One's just a fucking Leviathan. It's just a mouth.
Yeah, it's just a huge mouth. Head. Like, it's super fucked up. But yeah, so this paper goes over, I guess, the science and the concerns and the possible risks behind all of this. But it is, we definitely find out that it is the basis technology for something called the Laugh Track. One of the last things that we get is it's another letter. It's got the Karen cardstock with their logo, which looks kind of like an hourglass. Keep that in mind. That's important. And essentially, it's somebody writing to someone named David, and they're voicing concerns about not only the attractions, but just the condition of the park, the weird, anomalous things that have been happening. They hear blood-curdling screams. They talk about a bear. They're not okay with anything that's going on there. And one of the things you're going to find in the archives are a lot of different articles talking about the high turnover rate of Liminaland. People will show up and be on the payroll for like 2 months and then be like, I can't fucking handle this anymore.
No, thank you.
And I think this is a letter from somebody.
Clown maze.
The clown maze is perpetrator number one. Like, absolutely. Yeah, if I worked at this place and they go, all right, you're on clown maze duty. I go, actually, no, I'm not, because I'm going home. it's not happening.
Pasquale's waiting for you in the maze. Well, he's going to have to keep waiting. I'm going home.
Yeah, it'll be a minute. But yeah, there's a letter, and it's almost like it reminded me kind of like a follow-up to the first letter that we see, which is, again, another like safety concern letter from the very first item that you see in the archives of Liminaland. Visit Liminaland.com. The last two pieces of media, I'm sorry, there's two more videos that I'll talk about later. And the last bit that you see is an image of Karen Corporation's first foray into experimental roller coasters. And then it talks about the Laugh Track and how it utilizes specialized restraint compressions to evoke uncontrolled laughter during its 8-minute runtime. The potential for asphyxiation was still being studied, although strangely, not a single rider had filed a complaint during the brief run. So they
way
didn't,
too long of a ride.
Yeah, 8.5 minutes of just being compressed
I
in
ain't
a certain
got that kind
way
of time, man.
That made you laugh until you shat. Like, that's there's other ways, man. I don't need a plastic hug to make me shit because I'm laughing. I don't need one.
That's a sentence I don't think anyone has said before. I don't need a plastic hug.
That's what we're here for, Mike. We're pioneers.
That is fair.
But I guess since I'm not covering the videos you see here until a little bit later, I think that's all I got for the archives.
All right, cool. Well, the next tab is the gallery, and I'm not going to go through every single picture on this, but there are a few that like are kind of fucking weird. So, I mean, well, okay, let's be real. They're all fucking weird.
Yeah,
all fucking weird. Like, full weird, because, you know, as we said, you know, with AI-generated art, you cannot, it just cannot do people for some reason, like, well.
No, not yet. We're still working on it.
I don't know. And I think it can. I think that.
I think when it's trying to do more than just, I think when you try to get it to do people with other things, that's where like in motion, I don't know, but either way, this is literally just pictures, this tab, and you know, you get things that look like carousels and swimming pools. And like, honestly, these swimming pools are all underground. So they're like really, really weird. I mean, it looks like some of the slides go straight into like Mario fucking tubes.
Yeah.
And shit.
This looks like a place I would love to visit. Love to.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Not that room, though.
No, this is that's a swimming pool inside of a bounce house.
Sounds awesome.
But there's like 400 people there.
Yeah, there's too many people in it. But there are some, you get some pictures of like some of the rides. I assume this is the centrifuge.
That's the centrifuge, yeah.
And
I don't
yeah, but so there are a couple pictures in this that have actual like slogans on it. So like you get this one image of like a birthday party room that you'd see at like fucking Chuck E. Cheese, right?
Or Willy's Wonderland, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, Willy's Wonderland for sure. And it says fading memories of a place I'll never forget. Okay. And then you get
that's
a bunch
a train
more
ride into a butthole is what that was.
This is just like
that's horrifying.
Evil Thomas the Tank Engine. But no, there's just like, it's just a gallery of all of the shit you'll see at Liminal Land, and it's people riding rides and with their families and all these fucking, subliminal, you know, water park, I guess, sub basements.
If I'm being honest, this is what I thought 2H32 was going to be.
Kind of.
It looks like a fucked up circus. / amusement park, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, everything about it, obviously you guys can't see what I'm clicking through right now. But goddamn,
it's like a McDonald's place from hell.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like, how does this
that
ride
still
work?
Still doesn't sound all that.
Dude, yeah. Like, what is that? Why is there a room
Grimace
just full of pipes?
Going to show up.
It's like Mice Gun Mountain made an appearance here.
Yeah, it's just all strange. Like,
what is that?
It looks like people in
why are
a
they
pool
so huge
going down into a subway, but there's no hole. They're just going into the wall.
that's
a fleshlight.
Oh my god! Yeah. So
I think
guys,
that's
please
supposed to people be people going into the entrance of the
of the subliminal land. That makes sense. That's the cue. Okay.
Yeah, it's just all really bizarre. Definitely check out this gallery because it's a lot. It's just a lot of weird imagery.
I know we've been talking about the word uncanny actually a lot lately.
It's very uncanny valley.
Yeah. That's this.
Nothing feels right about any of them.
No, not at all.
It's all pretty interesting stuff here. But that's it. That's all this tab is. It's just images.
Yeah. It's just
and they just keep going. There's a lot of them.
There's like 200 pictures.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, you can literally just, okay, I hit the end, but you can literally go on until you hit the end. So, yeah, that's really all we got for the gallery tab. It's the next tab.
Yes.
Really weird. So
it gets neato-rific.
This is like the plot portion.
Now, this is a little out of order since we haven't talked about the videos yet, but basically what this next tab is, it's called, it's just the intervention tab. When you click on it, it says guest area, please enter the password below. Now, as internet sleuths do, they're going to be watching the socials, they're going to be watching the YouTube videos, they're going to be on the website, and eventually people got to what the password was, which for lack of us not talking about the video, I'll
want to jump in like while I'm talking, or do you want me to go over them first?
No, we'll talk about it because this might start to bring some ideas to people's head.
Fair enough. Yep.
So basically, if you get the password, which I won't tell you what it is right now, we'll go over that in the video. you're greeted to a picture of what looks like a giant bull.
It's like a golden bull with like slots in his chest.
Yeah, it's got like seven slots in him. And up above it is German, which is written out, if you were to translate it, it says the idol Moloch and the seven chapels. If you're not familiar with who Moloch is or Molech, it's the name or a term which appears in the Hebrew Bible several times, primarily in the book of Leviticus. The Bible strongly condemns practices which are associated with Moloch because he is real heavily on included in child sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just basically a big, big old bad boy.
Trivia. So if you guys have seen... Go ahead. What did you say, Mike?
I should avoid taking Amelia to
Liminal Land?
Yeah. I think your goals are.
It does depend on your goals.
It does. If you want to, you know, ascend her to the right people.
Ascend, yeah. That's a good one. I will say, so trivia time. Let's tie this into some movie knowledge. So if you, if anyone has seen the movie Sinister, the demon entity in that movie, they call it Bagul, but that's actually based on the Sumerian deity Moloch, which is the, like, the deity of child sacrifice, which is why he's kidnapping children the entirety of the movie.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So real quick, just to finish off this tab, obviously there's not a whole lot that goes into it. You had to find the password, so there was a lot that went into it, but then you kind of are greeted with just this one thing.
Is also ongoing, so keep in mind this might change. Like,
yeah, and so once you've actually unlocked that tab and put the password in, it actually changes the tab to park closures. So yep. When you click on it, then you get that picture. But yeah, so
as of the recording of this, though, they have changed the password, and I don't think anybody knows what it is.
Right. Yeah. So right, there could be anything in there. We did know the password for it. It doesn't work. So unfortunately, there's not a whole lot we can do about that.
Yeah, I'll talk about. I'll touch on that when we go through the videos. Yeah. That's where you find that password.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. The idol Moloch and the seven chapels. Moving forward, as we start to
Harry Potter. Is that a Harry Potter book?
Yes. Yeah, Harry Potter idol and Moloch the idol and the Moloch chapels. And the seven chapels.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that takes us to our second to last tab, which I guess we'll call it our last tab because
the last one's just merch. We don't need to skip it. It's just actual merch.
Do you guys want me to talk about the videos real quick so we can kind of tie some of that together before we go into the like some of the extraneous ancillary like social media site stuff?
Let me finish up the about tab real quick because it's all of like a paragraph.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it,
man. And then, we'll do that. Yeah. Fuck it. Let's finish out the website's like.
Give me time to take another shot.
Let's finish off like the top of it and then we'll dive a little deeper.
Then we'll work on the bottom.
You know? Yes.
Yeah. I always like my top polished off first.
Yeah. Polish that top off before you start on the bottom. Yep.
So if you go to the About Liminal Land section, you will find. I'm just going to read it all off because it's very short.
Go for it.
It states that Liminal Land opened its doors in early winter of 1975. Destined to become one of the grandest amusement parks in the United States, Karen Corporation set out to push the boundaries of what it meant to provide immersive entertainment. To this day, it's unclear how exactly Liminal Land garnered such a passionate and sizable audience so quickly, as the town of Lake Valley has historically had a relatively small population. Which, do you think Lake Valley is a reference to the Lake City Quiet Pills? Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe.
So regardless, ticket sales exploded from day one, much to the credit of large families who flew in from all over the world to experience Karen's experimental vision. From the beginning, Liminal Land was also embedded with one mission. To dethrone Disneyland as the go-to destination for thrill-seekers of all ages. Coasters that evoked emotion, a multi-tiered water park, and a massive underground suburbia were among the experiences tested while the park was open. And to this day, debates are plentiful on whether Karen actually achieved their goal of industry dominance. Now, it is rumored that Disneyland was relatively empty throughout the 1980s. However, Disney loyalists will constantly deny that. No matter which way you look at it, though, the impact of Liminal Land's existence was always clear. And at least for a brief while, it appeared that the park wasn't ever going anywhere. You hear that, Doug? You Disney loyalist fuck.
Shut the fuck up.
Surprisingly, very little news coverage came out of the of Lake Valley during Liminal Land's tenure. Parkgoers seemed avid to serve as test subjects for their experimental rides, and it felt like no one ever batted an eye. Regardless of the numerous accidents that took place over the years, there was never a single investigation, audit, or inspection ever credibly done. What Liminal Land touted as anomalous events were simply tarped off for a day and then reopened thereafter with not a single word about them. For 14 years, the park operated in this bizarre manner. People went missing, rides constantly changed, and the park staff were always apathetic about it. Yet Liminal Land's popularity paradoxically grew and grew. Unfortunately, on May 20th of 1989, Liminal Land's Day of Reckoning had come. That night, the park was rapidly and indefinitely shut down with no concrete reason ever being given. The remains of those present on that fateful night are rumored to remain exactly where they were last seen. Although nobody really knows for sure. Hell yeah, it's metal as fuck.
I don't know you're sick like that, bro.
theme park preservationists are keen to keep the spirit of Liminal Land alive forever. However, there has been nothing like it for decades and probably never will.
Well, that's I hope not. We should open a Diluty clown maze.
The Diluty theme clown maze.
Yes.
It'll just be it'll literally be like clown makeup on top and then just nothing. Just no
naked,
clothing, no nothing.
Just... An animatronic of Mike at the front entrance that's just going, wowie zowie. Wowie zowie. Wowie zowie.
We're on to something, boys. I think we should flesh this out and spend all of our money on this.
Shoving fake goldfish in my face.
Yeah. The Hall of Goldfish. You can do a K the P simulator.
Wowie zowie. Kiss your dad.
This is a workshop idea, guys. We'll talk about
right
this later.
$1. Kiss your dad. $1.
Kiss your own father like he loves you.
A dad kissing booth.
Yes. My God. We have our own amusement park to fucking design here. Maybe that's the
we
bonus.
Do. Fucking send it.
Mm-hmm.
Diluty okay. Parks.
I'd be so,
Diluty Parks. Yes.
So that is kind of it when it comes to the main website. There are other areas like the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram.
So, do you want me to go over the YouTube channel before we
let's
like,
just
dive
let him go
the,
over the YouTube channel. This is like the fifth time he's asked.
I know. Well, I don't think it should be at the
go
end.
Ahead.
That's
I think,
all I'm
saying. I think we covered that, but Mike just he just kept going.
go ahead.
So I know we've talked a bunch about the videos, and there's a grand fucking total of 5 videos on the Liminal Land YouTube homepage. It's in order, upload order. So, you know, the very earliest being last, the newest first. And it's quite the collection of media, if I'm being 100% honest. So up until now, we've gotten kind of a very loose picture of what Liminal Land is, what has happened within the walls of Liminal Land, but nothing too... I mean, yeah, there's some weird stuff, but nothing like terribly sinister aside from that Moloch stuff. The first video we get is literally just like a recording of, I think it's some 80s television program. It starts off, there's a bunch of soldiers and they're doing like a memorial type service. And then you see a missing persons sequence and it goes over a bunch of different names. The two that you're going to want to remember are Margaret Jacobson and
Margaret Thatcher.
Not Margaret Thatcher. It's Sophie. Fuck, what's her last name?
I don't know. I didn't write it down.
So it's Sophie something.
Sophie Turner.
It's a younger child, and these are all missing people. And it's something you definitely need to pay attention to. It's about 3 minutes
but you
long.
You can forget the name. It's okay. Pay attention.
It's the only person named Sophie. I don't remember her last name right now. The only reason that's important is because her mother comes up a little bit later, and that ties into some lore that I know is going to be important once this thing actually starts revealing more information. The next tape we get is a company training tape, and it's all about visitor satisfaction. So throughout the archives and the different pieces of media that you see here, you're going to see a lot of different reasons for people that come to visit to stay for longer than they were intending. They've got, you know, housing set up for you if you need it. If you don't have accommodations, we got you. Just go home. And so this is actually
this home.
The home that's here.
Here home, not that home.
Here home, not their home.
Dot E dot.
Yes. H dot O dot M dot E dot. So this is essentially for employees. If a customer comes up, and asks, like, what can I do? Like, I'm running out of shit to do. Essentially, this directs their attention to more things to do in the park. And the thing that it solidifies is, as an employee of Liminal Land, it is your job to make sure that every single guest at the park stays there for as long as humanly possible. Now, I will say, before we go further, in the video previous, the very first video, there is a phone number attached to the missing persons reports. So we get this phone number and we get this company training tape. We then get an investigation tape. And this is where we learn the most information about something called the Liminal Land Anomaly. We're not sure what this is actually referring to. We know it's a ride or an attraction. And we know that several people have ridden it to detrimental effects, apparently. So it's about 3.5 minutes long, and this video, or sorry, 6.5 minutes long. And this video kind of goes over different people who have ridden the Liminal Land Anomaly and the facial reorganization. I don't really know what to call it. There's the deformities that happen from riding the ride. And so this goes over, it shows you a bunch of different pictures of the different, as they call, victims of the ride. It starts off pretty tame, and it gets more and more horrible. And the thing that you'll notice is that this ride forces you to have a permanent, unhuman smile just plastered on your face. It stretches your whole head in one way or another.
Jeff the Killer's you.
It does Jeff the Killer you. 100%. It looks just like a Jeff the Killer picture. One thing to note, though, is the amount of time you ride this ride definitely corresponds with how fucked up you look afterwards. One of the things we find out in the video is the longest time single rider on this ride was 26 minutes straight. And they show the comparison pictures, and like, doesn't even look like a human at that point.
Nah, it's just stretchy banana face.
Smiley face. Cut into it.
It's like from It, the flute playing, terrifying monster that Jewish kid sees.
Yeah, from the
painting. It looks kind of like that. But that's the Liminal Land Anomaly tape, and that's essentially, to me anyway, that's the most important piece of media that you're gonna see up until right now. Up until, I don't know what's coming out when, but up until now, to me anyway, this is the most important piece of media because it essentially shows, like, the tell. It gives us the tell for people who have been to Liminal Land and people who have not. And the one thing we're going to find about Liminal Land is most people don't remember their visits. There's even a form saying, if you happen to remember your visit, fill this out. We want to know about it.
Because we don't even know about it.
Because we don't know about
Maybe
it.
I've
yeah,
been to
it's,
Liminal Land.
We probably all have. We're probably there
We've
right
all
now.
Been. Well, when Mike was so kindly not letting me talk earlier, I filled that form out and I just made it something stupid. I was like, oh, I've been to Liminal Land so many times. I can't wait to go back for the first time.
Yeah. And that's the sentiment that you want to have when you're trying to remember Liminal Land, because apparently you don't remember it. There are two more videos. The next one we see is a 10-minute video, and this one is if you guys have seen Kane Pixel's back rooms, this is just
this
like
fucking
another
sick. This video is the best part of all of this. If you don't give a shit about the website or any of the other videos,
this video. Yes, I want to know. Like, I want the technology to make videos like this because I think I understand what's happening. I just don't have the amount of money necessary to buy a camera like this, and I want that to happen. But this video
it's
3D
is 3D rendered. It's all done.
And, yeah. Oh, it is. It's not that super special.
There's a link to
like
the creator in the description.
Okay.
There's a they've got a bunch of YouTube videos just like this, and they're all fantastic.
I gotta look at that. So this movie is called Found Footage Welcome Home, and home is the acronym. It's literally found footage of somebody who's just filming the inside of what we call or what we know as home, which is like the accommodations for staying at Liminal Land that apparently might turn into a permanent residence for you depending on what happens. It's this long video, and it's so good. It just shows the part of the park. It shows like the home fronts, and it shows what like the outside of your house looks like if you decide to live there. They just are houses. They're just built into the wall.
I wonder what level home is on compared to the sub.
It's got
to
be like two, right? Like it's got to be near the top
because the way they show it
around this, or is it
right?
Water park
maybe there's just
this.
Maybe it's like basement one is home, and then
two,
the first
39.
There's just one tube that like takes you down to the third level, which is where
subliminal land is.
Starts. I don't know.
Maybe that's part of the attraction.
The mystique
is trying to find your way out if you want to get out, and that's another option apparently.
Part of the thing is like, if you really pay attention, like the dimensions and like the spatial reasoning behind this entire place don't make any, it doesn't add up.
Does not. And
it just
even
doesn't make sense.
It just doesn't. And even the different documents going like from Charon saying like, we're not 100% sure how big this is. Like, we don't know where this ends.
Yeah. Have you gotten to, did you already go over the video where it shows the like zone out?
Doing that, right?
This is,
you're going to see exactly how big.
Slow down, Doug.
The
Christ.
Home zone is. So we'll get to that in a sec. But this goes over some guest who's filming the inside of this place. And you're going to see them start like looking around. There's like a painted version of a house saying like, coming soon. And it shows you what the house is going to look like. But then he starts opening doors. He starts looking in dark rooms, and you get some text that pops up, and it says, don't follow strange sounds. Which, when you're walking around a place called home, and it's supposed to be, you know, a living arrangement for families, and then you see something that says, don't follow strange noises, I have questions. I have several questions. So, obviously, the person filming starts following strange noises. They are strange. They sound anywhere from, like, scratching all the way to like blood curdling screams. Like it's just
Doug out for his nightly walk.
yeah it's whenever
enjoying myself.
Every step Doug takes, he has to scream because his toes hurt constantly.
It's actually my toes are screaming. They have little mouths
it's
on.
His dog's barking.
But essentially, so the thing that I loved about this video is you get to see kind of some of the shit you're not supposed to see. A part of this video, you see this person exploring areas he's not supposed to, and you see a door, and from underneath the door, there's all this red and yellow and like changing colors, lights and noises. And there's a very distinct sound you hear when they get close enough to the door. It sounds like a very angry bull. Like, it sounds like that cartoon,
Doom
like
demon sound.
Yeah.
Right.
Like when you walk into the Caco Demon's chamber or some shit, this is like this roar, but like it definitely sounds like that cartoon, like, like that bull roar noise.
No, I nailed it, Jason. You don't have to.
You know what? You're right. Matt, can you edit mine out? Actually, I'm real embarrassed.
Like louder.
Please and thank you. Yeah, it's just way louder.
Happier.
But you definitely hear some kind of animal noise come from the inside of this. And like, to me, it reminded me of that cartoon Looney Tunes bull noise. Like when Bugs is fighting the fucking bull being a matador.
When, I heard like
when
a
its eyeballs
too.
Pop out and it goes a wooga.
Yeah, exactly. And almost the exact same noise. But this is the longest video in the series. It's about 10 minutes long. After this one, we actually get something called Investigation Tape - Mommy's Friend.
Mommy.
And these two videos, these last two tie together. And you'll see why. So this is like a, I love how this one's filmed too, at least in the very beginning where it shows almost like the stop motion up to the storybook that says Mommy's Friend spelled wrong. And this was written by, does it say who wrote it on the book?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah,
so
it does.
So you do see, Sophia's name, right? Or, is it Sophia? Or
it's Sophie.
Is Sophie? Okay. So you see it's by, Sophie Munoz, however you pronounce that. That's a name you have to pay attention to. And this goes over how this little girl was going on a trip to Liminal Land with her mom, and her mom took her there, and she was so excited.
Sophia Ramos.
Ramos or Munoz?
I think it's Ramos.
If that's the case, then none of what I have to say matters.
Nope, Munoz, you were right.
Okay. Thank God.
I was wrong.
So it's by this girl, Sophia Munoz, and she talks about going to Liminal Land with her mother. And then her mother makes her sad. And there's a bunch of times where it says, like it's supposed to explain why she's sad, but it's scribbled out. You don't know what it says. And it talks about how we meet Mommy's Friend. And Mommy walked through this door and she's exploring. She takes me into this house. And inside the house, there are more houses. And we found a back entrance. And through the glowy door, we saw Mommy's Friend. And then we see the drawing, and it shows a very, it's a child's drawing for sure. And it shows like this bull-headed humanoid that has seven slots cut out in its chest. And Doug, what does that remind us of?
Moloch.
Yep. That's the demon, Moloch. The image of the demon Moloch.
It's Moloch.
That we find. There's
that Moloch feather.
Yeah.
I heard that
on the website
before.
Yeah. So that's why we were, like I said, it was kind of out of order the way it was explained. But I think it gives a better idea of like, okay, now we kind of, you know, are putting all the pieces are kind of coming together somewhat. Also in his video, the training video or the company training video, at the very end, it says to text write, R-I-T-E,
yes, thank you,
to a certain phone number to let them know that you're ready to move on to the seventh training video.
This is a password.
This is where you get the password. If you know how, like, it's not spelled R-I-G-H-T, it's R-I-T-E, which is commonly used in the phrase rite of passage, which was the passcode to
interventions
tab or the guest area, but now it doesn't work, so boo on you.
And now we're caught up. But yeah, those are the videos. I wanted to save those because I feel like it makes way more sense if we give some background first.
Right.
And then introduce all the elements in the videos. This is a weird one simply because the videos they have a wealth of information, but they're not nearly as important as like the portal site.
Right.
And in, I don't know what to classify this as, but I don't know. That's
ARG
all I have for the videos.
/ A fucking analog horror.
Argalaga horror.
Argalaga
horror.
Perfect. Yeah, it's definitely
a
mesh
of Argalaga horror.
Oh yeah, it's a Technicolor dream coat of tropes and online horror.
They were kind of all over the map.
What else do we have in regards to Liminal Land, Mike?
There's other socials like the Twitter, Facebook, and the Instagram. With things like I'm going to just briefly touch over the Twitter and the Instagram, because the Twitter, if I'm being honest, is just a bunch of reposts from like the archive. There's no like real like, there's no like specific content generated just to the Twitter. You can find it all on the website. I think what they're doing with the Twitter is just kind of help putting it into maybe like a a chronological order, maybe.
Yeah, multiple format.
Yeah, yeah. But everything that is on the TLDR. Twitter we've already covered. Yeah, basically. We've already covered everything that's on the Twitter. The Instagram, however, all the actual posts on the Instagram are just like the gallery images and some of the archive photos as well. But when you get into the reels, there's a couple reels in there that are like found footage from some of the guests that have been to Liminal Land. Some of them are like that reverse fall ride where you just see it just
the people cannon.
The people cannon, yeah. Others are like little
things
like
I need footage of
the people cannon.
Absolutely.
Other videos you get of like Subliminal Land, and you get more of like Paradise Playground. And
Paradise Playground, some of those images are nightmarish, absolutely nightmarish. There was one here, I was looking at, that shows like a foot coming out from underneath a playpen. Like, what?
Well, here's what adds to some of the horror as well, is in this video for the Paradise Playground, it shows like a guest, and it's like, oh, we just found this, like, this is disturbing, view it under your own discretion, yada yada yada. And it's like a guest like hiding around the playland. And you hear like screaming in the distance. It kind of sounds like a woman or like children screaming, something like high pitched like that.
Okay.
And there's another one in the subliminal, like the water park area. That's, I believe, very similar, where you hear like the faint screams of like someone. It sounds like in pain.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, you hear like. It's a weird sounding scream, but it's definitely a scream.
Yeah, and the others are just kind of like snippets. Like, we get small snippets from that like 10-minute video of like the person like exploring the liminal land. We get like that what did Doug call it before, the thing that takes you around all the different areas? What did you call it? Like the people mover.
The people mover. What was it actually called? The invader.
Yeah.
Invader
something
cave or something.
Yeah.
But it shows like that thing, but it's like accelerating like wicked fucking fast. It's showing, yeah, it's another people fucking cannon. Yeah. But it's
just
showing
various
all this,
people
like,
cannons. That's all it is.
Yeah. It's people showing cannon. Like all this like fucked up stuff that's going on. It's all from like park goers, like footage. So it's kind of creepy.
We didn't talk about the fucking mascot at all either, but keep going. I'm sorry. I'm just stream of consciousness.
We can touch on it right after this if you want. But the last video that was uploaded was of an employee of Liminal Land's like cubicle desk.
Oh yeah.
And it just shows like the computer turn on and like the power starts to get all fucked up and everything in the area and everything. There's all this like ominous noise and shit.
Doug just turned on the people cannon video. I will never, ever not laugh at that.
My favorite part is it shows him like zoom in, and even the zoom, it's into like, you just see him just into the nothing, the ether, just boom, just gone. Gone. It's creepy, but that's the only other, like the different thing with Instagram is the reels. Everything else is just shit seen from the website.
The reels do definitely add some extra to like your experience with it.
It is nice because I actually missed the reels.
Same.
So this is pretty interesting.
Enough, I'm gonna make one. Jason.
Yeah.
What about the Facebook?
The Facebook. So it's literally the face space is a space for your face.
A face for your spoot.
No, it's legitimately so. One thing that I noticed was the socials around Liminal Land act just like the park does. When I say that, I mean they all funnel you into one area, the website. And once you're there, the website does its best to keep you there as long as fucking humanly possible, because just the sheer amount of shit you can click on and look around at, it just does that. And honestly,
I can't turn off my computer.
It works. Like, it works really well. It acts as designed. So the Facebook itself is literally just a collection of pictures. Most of them come from the archive. There's some others that have to do with the attractions page. But the very first posts you see are the same across all mediums. It's those two very intriguing intro to the rabbit hole type posts about two different rides at this place called Liminal. And then it just kind of, again, it piques your interest. And everywhere you go on the Facebook, it has a link to the website. Every post has a link to the website. You can just click it. It's so easy to do. And then you're trapped. So easy. Mm-hmm.
Well.
But yeah, that's the entirety of the Facebook. There's really not a whole lot.
That's it. That's literally the entirety of all of it.
Yeah, that's everything
at
we know.
Moment.
Yeah, it is ongoing. Actually, yeah, let's talk about what this is. What that is.
What is
it? What everybody?
I don't really have a what that is yet because I think there was something that I kept noticing while I was doing my research earlier is this tagline, where were you when it happened?
Yes.
And
where were you
when they built the ladder to heaven? Anyways, yeah, no, I kept seeing it was where were you when it happened, but we don't have a happened yet. We only have like all of the stuff that happened.
Well, we know
up into the 80s, you know.
We know what happened.
Yeah.
Like the park closed down.
The park closed.
Right, but
we just don't know if there's another like clown chymus situation.
All we have is
Flesh Pit or some shit. Yeah. This is world building. Hey guys, this is the new Deptford County because I think this one might actually make it past that.
We still owe them the lore of all the AI art.
Oh, Jesus.
Who's taking this?
Wait, what'd you say?
The lore.
We owe them the lore on the AI art.
Art.
Oh, the lore on the AI art. Well, the AI. The only reason I said that was just because like people's faces are fucked up in the AI art because it's AI art. But
yeah,
I can't tell if it's like they're supposed to be fucked up because they rode the anomaly
or
the.
Yeah, there's definitely an or.
Oh, okay. Or it's just fucked up because it's AI.
Or?
I can't tell if like the park is like warping these people's appearance. I kind of wonder if like they started to just like generate pictures to fuck around with this. And the entire inspiration for the anomaly thing was just like, wow, we need a backstory for why these people's faces look fucked up.
Why can't the AI make good faces? Let's make that the anomaly. Story.
What was the or I was supposed to figure out?
The or is, are these pictures and everything around it, like, are they true pictures or are they things that have been come up with from inside the compound to get more people to go there to show that they're having fun so they can get sacrificed to the deity Moloch? And then
there is
continues.
Sort of a hint to that because it's not mentioned at all anywhere else in any of the other media, but if you go to the archives, the front page of one of the archived materials, and it's not mentioned in the rest of the text for that archive, but the cover of it says Science News, and then the bottom of the cover says the New World of Computer-Generated Images.
I was wondering
if that's a hint to like all these pictures are fake on purpose.
That's what I'm saying.
They're intentionally not convincing.
And that ties into the Science News with the mention of Dr. Schlittenberg from the 1959 article about how he talks about making these liminal spaces and this procedurally generating environment. Is that real?
Can you imagine? It's like fucking Minecraft IRL where you just start walking and then shit just kind of like
shows up.
And like everything behind you is despawning because you don't need it.
Yeah.
You like turn around to go grab something and you're like, oh well, that's new.
Your dog
needs ray tracing.
It's like if you ever played a bunch of Grand Theft Auto 4, you would like drive around and there'd be a bunch of cars and then you'd turn around and it was despawning all
just
the cars.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and there'd be different cars. And it's like, wait, where'd that car go?
Different, better cars. It was its own cheat. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a full worked opinion on this yet.
I don't either.
We kind of went over the creators.
Yeah, no, we censored that out. Do we want to talk about the creators?
Okay. Well, you didn't hear it, but, I think maybe we should talk about that before we go into any like opinions.
Yeah. This was made by two people I've never heard of before. Two very obscure YouTubers who have been at it for years and have very small cult following.
Almost no
very
one.
Very
yeah.
little low no name people.
I'm actually surprised I haven't heard
the
either
fuck's
of these
a Crowley
names before. Yeah, but it's
Aleister Crowley
next NEXPA, I think. Yeah. NEXPA and Nick Crowley. And if you don't know who they are, go look at their content, because it's basically what we do, but like way better.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't have full-time jobs. Do we have anything else surrounding
Liminal?
Yeah,
there is a third creator, actually. I mentioned the home video.
Yeah.
The video part of where the guy's walking around in home is actually made by somebody named Geodio26 on YouTube. And they actually don't have a very big following. They got 18,000 subscribers. And that's a fucking crime. Because this videos are fucking sick.
They're phenomenal. Like,
that Backrooms video that everybody knows.
Yes.
His videos are just as good as that.
That's just the fucking back. Okay, so
it's not him.
There's a scene. Yeah. I got it confused with Kane Pixel's Backrooms videos.
Yeah.
Simply because, like, you think Backrooms at this point in time, you think Kane Pixel's Backrooms videos.
Right.
No, there's another Backrooms video. That's one of the scenes was from that video that I remember, just recolored. And holy shit, yeah, go check this guy's videos out. They're fucking incredible.
Do we have anything else to cover? I don't think there's anything else about
I don't think so. I mean, if more comes out, obviously we'll try to do another part
can
on this.
after we do Monument Mythos part 2.
3, 5, 7,
whatever it's at now.
So,
yeah.
I do kind of want to, like, can I ask your guys' opinion of this thus far?
The story itself is great. I love the premise. I love, like, I think that's super creative, and I think this is a long time coming. Creative criticism time, though. Some of the AI generations are, like, I'm all about immersion. If you can immerse me in a story, you've sold me. Yeah. The AI generations yank me out of that so fucking fast, because you can just tell.
Yeah, it's hard to, like, coming from someone who, you know, watches a lot of stuff, like, I feel like the fact that their content is, you know, they have even more under their belt than we've covered at this point. Mm-hmm. However, it does, like Matt kind of mentioned it earlier, it just feels like they took in everything they've ever seen and kind of tried to regurgitate it out in this. Now, I agree with Jason as well. I do really like the story. Like, I think it has, like, really cool potential to be something, like, really awesome. I just don't know if they've found that, like, footing yet.
Yeah. It feels like they have not. Feels like they're still searching, but that's fine.
I'm a little undecided on it, because the things that I think are shortcomings, I can't decide if they're intentional or not, because I can't decide if, like, the AI art is intentionally the way it is for the reason that I covered. And I also can't decide if what, go
ahead. Sorry, no, you literally said it perfectly earlier, but as we did the episode, it kind of started making me think about it more. So I was also like,
That and the other shortcomings that I find with it are what you said, where, like, a lot of it is really tropey and stereotypical, but I also can't tell if that's because that's just what they made, or if it's because this is sort of like a love letter to all the things that they've covered before. And so they're intentionally copying certain elements of things that they've covered just to kind of make this, like, an amalgamation of all that sort of stuff. If that wasn't the intention, then I think there was definitely some room here for some more. They have the means and stuff to be a little more creative than this, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad. I just expected a little bit more, I think.
Yep.
I agree.
I think now that you call it a love letter, like, I'm, like, literally piecing every fucking ARG analog horror that I can think of, like, you know, you got the twisted faces, just like, what's it called? God damn it, why can't I think of it?
Twisted faces.
Like, the one that had the weird faces.
Oh, Gemini.
No. Fucking,
oh, no. The god one. The
one where with the doppelgangers.
Yeah.
God damn it, why can't I think of
it
right
now?
Wait, was
that not Gemini?
No, that was the one.
That was the one with the vessel, like the blood vessel people. Like, it would grow the sprouts, or, like, the bulbs.
It was the one with the fucking... God damn it. I'm so stupid right now. I can't believe that I can't think of what it's fucking... Yeah, Mandela effect.
Mandela.
God damn it.
Mandela catalog. You're right. Yeah. That was the Jesus-y
Yeah, Mendel.
Sunday school.
Yeah,
one.
That's like
right.
That one, like you can see it there. You can see it in the back rooms. Like you've got your local 58 and Gemini and the analog horror. Mm. Like you've got a lot of different. I mean, you got flesh pits. Like the whole thing feels like flesh pits.
It really does.
There's a lot. There's just a lot of different ones you can pick out from this. But
yeah, I see why they did it the way they did. I think the one thing that this could have done, and I understand why this wouldn't be something like everyone would want to do, but I think I would have preferred it if it was just way funnier, because I think it had potential to be fucking hilarious. Like the people canon, like there's so much potential here for this to just be the funniest fucking shit.
100%. Like if you stumble into something that's like horrific but also hilarious, like run with that. That's a niche that you don't see a lot of, especially in analog horror and like the internet medium.
Yeah,
you that's see comedy horror movies, but that's about it.
That is definitely another tidbit of my like advice to people that know my grievances with analog horror as a genre at this point.
Yeah.
But that is definitely one of my things that I really wish that we saw more often, and I think it would lend itself to a lot more creativity. Is I wish people just wouldn't take stuff like I wish people's projects didn't take themselves so seriously. I would love to see humor and just like absurdism.
Yeah. 100%.
Because that's just fucking hilarious, and it gives stuff charm, and I think people should lean into that more.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, 100%.
I would say you guys are being very nice to.
I knew there was one.
Crowley.
What do you got?
Because it's fresh. There isn't even a. It's not even fully done.
Oh,
come on, Mike. Lay it on. Let's go. let's hear.
No, so. I agree with everything you guys said. This is a very fun concept that no one has done yet. It's a freaky-ass amusement park. That's really fun. That's really cool. I'm with Moot. I think they should have leaned on like a little bit of comedy, especially because we got a clown maze. Give me some shit in a clown maze. That'd be hilarious.
There's nothing funny about
that.
A clown maze,
the
Mike.
Best
There's
SCP
nothing
write-ups
funny about
are
that.
The ones that are just like so crazy, like so ridiculous that you can't help but laugh. Those
like
are
the one that shortens everything. So fucking good.
Do not have to.
My biggest,
yes, exactly.
My biggest gripe with this entire thing so far, and again, it's still going on, so who the fuck knows? But I feel like they're just following the patterns. They're just doing the same thing that every analog horror does. It's like a Marvel movie where you do this, then this, then this, then this.
Yeah,
it's a formula.
It's
a they're following.
It's
they're following the same
word Mad Libs.
Yeah, they're following the same cookie cutter formula. When you have Nexpo and Nick Crowley, who have both been doing this for, I want to say both of them have been doing it for 10 plus years. If anyone is going to
say
something,
I think
I don't know how long
YouTube channel came out in like 2018 or something.
I don't know how long Nick Crowley's been doing. I know Nexpo's been going since like 20.
Nexpo's like one of the OGs for sure.
Yeah, but so they've been going for a while. But you got two of the best minds in this type of like genre. I need them to like. Thank you. I hope that now that we know that there's some sort of like God involved or something like that, that takes them to that next level.
That's what I'm hoping.
I need them to do more than what they're doing, because as much fun as like,
I need some Deptford County shit.
Yeah, and we have that YouTube video, for example, that's like the training video.
Yeah.
I've seen analog training videos 1,000 times.
Dude, it's
I don't
cookie
need another
cutter.
One.
And also that video falls into the trope that I really don't like, where like it'll start out as like, oh, hey, this is a found training video. And then like it starts glitching out and stuff. And it's like, why are those glitches there? There's no, it doesn't make sense why those glitches would be there. If it's a found training video, it shouldn't be fucked up.
And if it is, it wouldn't have meaningful information in the glitches.
Right.
Like, it would just be static.
Yeah,
like
that
some
sort
shit.
Of stuff takes me out of it real hard.
The one thing that I need the most of right now is more cowbell for one, yes. From the Minotaur man, whatever his name is.
Moloch,
yes. I need them to have like specific content or something for their social medias. Like, don't just have Twitter as just reposting shit. You are Nexpo and you are Nick Crowley. Like, I need you to be a step above the people that do that shit. I'm not trying to sound like an asshole. Like, I know what the fuck I'm doing. But it's like George Lucas remaking the old trilogies again. You know, I need you to step out. You are the the people that investigate this shit. I need you to be on another level than us. You know what I mean?
I can kind of understand how they set up their socials, though, simply because, like I said, the socials are serving almost the same purpose as the park itself and like their quote unquote community outreach or their HR department or their marketing department. It's all a funnel to get you to the website.
It is, which is fine, but they need to do more with the website then.
I agree, 100%.
They're literally spoon feeding everything to you. Like in that training video, they're like, "Oh, tell your manager the password is right." Really?
Well, yeah, I was kind of thinking. I was like, why aren't they? If they're going to be doing this kind of cookie cutter thing, like I'm surprised they don't have way more like ARG elements going on.
That's what I'm saying.
There's almost none.
Like again, like if two dipshits who make YouTube vlogs could make something as complicated as Ash vlogs,
that's
Nick Crowley can do.
Seriously,
go a step above a password protected
webpage. And again, like they have a lot of good shit here that they could work off of.
Yes,
and they're probably going to. In my opinion, what I think is happening is they left it very basic and very easy to get that like every man, like that. Everyone to click onto it. Don't just have that niche ARG enthusiast market. They're trying to get everybody into it. So they're keeping the puzzle simple. They're keeping the concept easy right now. And then maybe later on they'll add on that ARG stuff. They'll add on the puzzles, all that stuff. I'm hoping that's the case because where it is right now.
Oh, same.
As long as they know when to quit.
Yes.
Don't do an Ash vlogs.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
I feel like for the people making it, this is too simple, too basic. I need you to show me.
You have to remember that these are people who are covering these things from an investigative and research standpoint. The only thing that's under their belts collectively is what the Ben Drowned,
which is huge, though.
It is huge, yes, but that's one of the only things that Nexpo's done that's like a dramatic narrative. Everything else is what we do. It's investigation. We uncover things. We tell facts.
We don't.
He does it. He does
it. We investigate by watching Nexpo. He does the investigative work.
If you're telling me right now that's not investigation, I don't want to be a part of this podcast anymore.
All I'm saying is with the names behind it, I expect a certain level of quality.
All I'm saying is
not there yet, but I can see it getting there very easily.
All I'm saying is the creativity and like the creative portion of these ARGs and like the analog horror-y portions of it, they're not used to doing. They're used to analyzing it and like picking it apart.
No, you're right. They're not
on the other side of the lens.
You're right, but I also
I will give them that.
I want to throw this away though.
Yeah, it's like in asking my opinion, Roger Ebert to make.
Yeah.
Well, hang on, because make a movie, in my opinion, we also had Nightmind that had his.
Jack Torrance?
Jack Torrance,
which in my opinion was a bit more in depth than this. So you have Nightmind that was the exact same
original content. Like,
yeah.
And this is the same thing. This is original content too. All I'm saying is
it is, but it's not.
If you want to put, all I'm saying is they can put the time into it. They've been doing it long enough where if they put the time and effort into it, they can make something awesome.
Oh, I agree.
Which I feel like they are.
I hope they are because they have a great concept.
They have a great concept here.
Yeah.
And I hope it doesn't stay the way it is because it's kind of lackluster how it is right now.
So how do we all feel about what's been released so far? Because clearly, we all already know the creators, Nexpo, Nix Crowley, this is not a real place, obviously.
Seven out of ten. /analog horror.
You think we're at about 7 out of 10, Mike?
I think it's passable.
Yeah.
Like
7 out of 10, fantastic
so far.
Concept. I hope it escalates more.
Especially
has potential to be a 10 out of 10, but right now it's a 7 out of 10 with how easy it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I like both creators. I like the idea of this. I hope they put out more, and I'd be eager to see more that they put out. It's not like Deptford County for me where I'm like, I don't care what they do after this. I just truly don't care.
I love Deptford.
Yeah, so I'd give it like a 6 out of 10 right now because it's piqued my interest, but it's not quite full blown sucked me off about it. So
I'd have to stick it right around 6 out of 10 as well. It has the potential to be very, very, very good. All the groundwork, for me anyway, the groundwork's been laid. Now you just have to find the story, make it all make sense, and make it intriguing. That's really all that's left to be done.
Exactly.
So far, I love the Moloch idea. I love this people. Like,
yeah, very unique. Very
it's
unique.
It's like they took the capitalistic structures of Disney World and just took it way too fucking far. I love that. That's fantastic to me. So keep going. Keep doing that. Keep building the lore. Just don't make it more confusing.
Yeah.
Like, just expound on the shit you've already built.
Also, one of the things that took me out of it immediately, we're going to wrap up here soon, I promise people. But with the about liminal land section, it straight up is just like, oh, people fucking vanished. We don't know why. It closed down. Why would a park's website have that information?
Yep.
Just there. It's like, that's like, I don't want to say sloppy shit, but your Nexpo and Nick Crowley. Why are you just dumping all, they're info dumping on you immediately. And it's like, you got to hide that kind of information. That's the shit I want to find.
Make
I
us work for find. That.
Yeah. Make me work for it. Don't just put it in an about section. Why would a website have that in the about section? It's just like, Moot said with the, training videos, things, and analog horrors. Why are the glitches there? Why is it saying people vanished and no one investigated it? That's going to spark a fucking investigation.
Like, boys, I think we're becoming internet content snobs.
100%.
That threshold is approaching.
I think the bottom line is, and we've alluded to it, is just that if this wasn't Nixpo. No, I can't say that. If this wasn't Nixpo and Nick Crowley, it would just be a solid, okay analog horror. Like, it would just be... Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it in the sense of, like, stuff's not misspelled, you know, there's not egregious errors, but it
spell check
just
was utilized.
Yeah, it would just be a pretty okay cookie cutter analog horror on top of all the other pretty okay cookie cutter analog horrors that are there.
Par for the course, essentially.
Again, so far.
Yeah, so far, yes. Because
this
I do
very
see
fresh.
This,
like, this
yeah,
is,
and I
just,
right,
I,
right.
I
this
see
is less than
off.
6 months old. Like, give it some time. The most of the best usually take a minute to get, like, to take off. You got to build
you
the story.
You know what takes a minute to take off? Patreon.com/DiludiPod.
Clint Eastwood, boner.
We keep fucking getting close to 100 patrons every fucking time I check it. It's like, you're at 86. I'm like, awesome. And then I refresh the app. It's like, actually, you're at 67. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? We're right there. Get us to 100 fucking patrons. And you know what? You know fucking what?
Mike will suck himself off.
Where's the juice bottle?
You're gonna drink that bullshit? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, let's let him do it.
Can't find it right
He's
now. There's
die.
A weird bottle of meniscus fluid
it's,
here.
It's the health tonic.
I will
tonic.
Fucking drink it. Health tonic. I will drink it when we get 100 patrons. I do not.
That's so gross.
I have health insurance.
That's so. Gross.
I will do it.
You legally can't die. You're right,
Mike.
You're right.
There are other ways to get out of raising a kid.
I will drink this. At 100 patrons, I will drink this.
Guys, we love you so much. Thank you for coming out and joining us, talking about liminal lands. Yeah, DiludiPod.com. Go to patreon.com/DiludiPod where you can find a bunch of bonus content. If you enjoyed all 100 and whatever episodes we've done up until now.
Cryptic Corner's dead. Stop subscribing to it.
Yeah,
please, please God. But either
you
way.
You can't anymore, actually. I nuked it.
Yeah, it's gone. No one can do that anymore.
So
but,
if you were a part of that
sorry.
And you want to still get our content, just go to the other tier, please.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. But either way, go on to our Patreon, sign up for a tier. I mean, you can give us something or you can give us nothing, as you
buy
well
me at
know.
coffee.com/DiludiPod.
But let's be honest.
Booze.
It's booze.
Review us on Spotify.
Yeah.
Please. Thank you
give
very
us
much.
A Spotify
leave us
review.
Leave us a star review. Even if it's a one star, leave a comment. I want to know why.
We'll read it on air, though.
Please 5-star, but if it's 1-star, say why. I want to know why, and I want to hurt my feelings.
5-star, we will ignore it, but 1-star, we will read it on air. Does that sound good?
No. No. No.
Oh, wait. Flip that and reverse it. Okay.
We do have 616 reviews now.
Jesus.
Yep. You too.
Good job, guys. You guys are great.
Remember what Mike promised you guys would happen and then didn't follow through with it?
I don't follow through on a lot of my promises. YouTube
he just makes them.
YouTube.com/@DiludiPod.
Yep.
Subscribe to us on the YouTube because we put out a bunch of weird shit. I don't know how far Moot is on a video, but we might be putting something else out.
That's probably not going to happen until I move again.
That's fine.
Hell yeah. Don't expect shit.
Living in my mom's place is not conducive to filming the rest of that.
Can we also just say right now that like releases for the next like 3 weeks might be sporadic just because life and shit.
Yeah, life's been crazy lately for everyone, so don't hold us to it.
We have a lot going on right now, so don't worry. The content will be there, just it might not be at the times you are used to it.
Yes, exactly.
You might get something or nothing. So
if you don't know by this point, you haven't been around long enough.
I want you to sneak up on Jason. Go to his house. He lives on 123
Street.
And if you ever see Jason in the street, take his teeth.
Just take them.
And then take them and then mail them to me and I'll put them back in his mouth. It'll be a weird process, but it'll be a process that I'll be happy
completely
about.
Unnecessary, but also one we are willing to go
through. Yes. Doug, do you have anything you want to say to the people?
Yeah. Go to your favorite AI generating image website and just type in Mike's fax hole and send them to us on different platforms. That's it. That's all I got.
You got a thing?
All right.
Thanks to all the people who've been supporting us lately. The numbers have been bussing.
Hell yeah.
Straight bussing.
So, the YouTube's almost at like 1,000 subscribers, which is fucking crazy. So thanks for sticking with us.
Everybody. Help us get that YouTube money, peoples.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. The closer we can get to making a living off this, the more shitty content you get every week. So look at it that way. You benefit almost as much as we do.
Emphasis on more and shitty.
Yes. Jason, you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, of course. Everybody stay paranoid as fuck, please. Because, I mean, if this isn't reminiscent of what can happen if you know clipping the back rooms, I don't know what it is. There's a whole fucking theme park based around it. Not sure why. That's terrifying to me. But either way, stay paranoid.
Can you tell them about the phone number as well?
Slap your peens and beans.
I can.
Get it right,
This is a lot of pressure, guys. I'm going to think about it too much and say it wrong, but here we go. So if you guys want to get in contact with us at the press of a button with your pocket calculator, go ahead and text us at 630-909-9366. One more time, that is 630-909-9366. Mike, do you have anything else you want to say?
I want to say that I was able to say it a third time on the last episode. Moot didn't edit it out, so I win. Ha 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 ha. Suck it. Rules of three, bitch.
He thinks he got it.
I know, he does.
Oh, did you? I didn't hear an edit.
Yeah, definitely nobody heard that.
Oh,
yeah, no, nobody heard it, but that will translate to the episode.
Yeah, no, whatever. No one.
They heard it on the last episode. Go to my review episode, and you'll hear me say it for a third time, so that's fun. And honestly, something I want to say real quick, too. I know that wasn't, like, the greatest episode ever. I kind of just made it on the fly. But I do plan on, I would enjoy doing a book/movie review-esque thing with my wife because we read
do
a lot
that.
Of books and whatnot.
Can you review your bowel movements as well?
I could.
Like classy corner.
I'll do a diary. No, it's going to be Daruti. Don't read under the internet.
Oh, that works too. I was going to say bring an essence of class to our show.
That seems, nope. Never mind.
Why would we do that?
But, but I would enjoy getting that going. So either that being a thing that we do when we are short on episodes and need something to put out, or if we want to make that a Patreon exclusive, we'll figure it out. But I would enjoy going over book reviews and maybe getting a book club type of thing going with listeners as well. So we'll look into that. But if you guys think a potential book club / book review thing is a good idea, email us at dilutipod@gmail.com. Send us a text at the phone number. Comment on the YouTube what you think. Any way that you can give us some sort of feedback on if you think it's a good idea or not, please do, because I would enjoy that.
There is a listener survey. I'm going to cheers everybody right now, because after this, I'm going to go take a piss because I've been holding this for like an hour. So, cheers, guys. I love you very much. Guys, do me a favor and take it out for me.
Bye, everybody. Cheers. Have a beautiful day.
Welcome back to Inner Night. We are so happy to see you here once again. To start the night, repeat after me. All living things belong to them. I trust in the divine wisdom that guides us. I am responsible for my own happiness. Repeat those words as many times as you need this week. Now, we have a message in a bottle from another member of Inner Night. Michael says, I have discovered the gods. They are beyond thought and expression. beyond color. You all need to see beyond your own eyes. How profound. Your lucky numbers for this week are 98, 105, 116, 46, 108, 121, 47, 51, 67, 105, 56, 116, 72, 115. This week we recommend exploring your spirituality through new experiences. Attend our retreat to deepen your understanding of the world and connect with the divine. Remember, we are all on this journey together. This concludes this week's message from Inner Night. Don't forget to send a message to another member and spread the love. You belong to us. Good night.